It is a UConn coronation. The Huskies make history. Back-to-back national champions.
You are now listening to the Seventh Rounders.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bless you with episode 2 of the week out of your favorite Seventh Rounders. Really just thinking about it as I say that sentence, the NFL draft is two or three weeks out. You know, the four of us, we are draft eligible. So maybe the seventh round, you'll see one of our names called. That could happen. You probably won't see one of our names called at the Masters winner's circle there on Sunday evening. I don't think any of us are going to make the tournament this year, unfortunately. Chad gave it a run. That's actually why he's not on the show tonight. He was playing in a qualifier event. Didn't go well for him, but shoot him a text. Tell him, you know, way to go out there. Maybe next year's your year to get to Augusta. And Dan Hurley, inevitable. Don Staley, inevitable. But really, the focus, I know you guys went on Monday. You talked about the Cox a little bit. Don Staley's the best there ever is, the best there ever was in the women's game. I know Gino Auriemma is a legend too, but Don's going to get a lot more.
Listen, there's some talks that Kentucky might throw her an offer.
Been
thrown around.
Listen, man. In the group chats on Monday, I was like, I'm worried, Don, not about obviously a job like that's different, but I'm worried the men's programs are going to come after her. I heard someone said like the Hornets might look at her. I didn't even think of the NBA, dude. I didn't even think of the NBA. So I'm pretty scared.
That's going to happen at some point. Like, I'm not saying with Don,
I'm scared, but dude.
Do you guys remember like several years ago when there was that report that the Browns had interviewed Condoleezza Rice
for their head coaching position? I do, dude.
This is way different, but like that just reminded me of that. And I was like, okay, that was crazy, but it would not be crazy if like the Kentucky or shit, even like the Hornets, Don Staley would be the best coach they've had in ever. So like
people thought that Becky Hammon was gonna be Pop's to follow Pop at San Antonio.
Dude, I mean, all respect to Don. She is the GOAT right now. I mean, she's fantastic. And she deserves if the men's programs NBA comes calling. Very decorated career she's had as a player and coach. It's amazing. Look at her Wikipedia page. Make sure you have a few minutes. It's gonna take a while to scroll down the accolades, but UConn does it. They're back-to-back champions. Dan Hurley unapologetically will let you know about it. They won every game in the last two tournaments by at least 13 points. Purdue kept it close. You know, they were down 6 at halftime. It felt like they should have been winning. Whenever that's the case, you know UConn's going to just go on a roll. And that's exactly what happened. They just suffocated them. I actually thought about it the next morning. I was like, that felt like watching a Michigan football game. The way that they just like slowly just – it was always going to happen. They were going to pull ahead. Slow death. As Joel Klatt would say, friend of the program, the boa constrictor. That's what UConn felt like in basketball this year, except maybe with a little bit more juice than what Michigan had in football.
I think that's what I'll remember most about like this, at least like this year more specifically, because like they kind of came out of nowhere last year and then dominated in the tournament. I mean, they were 4 seed last year, but this year's team, specifically like this tournament run, you know, I think back to Illinois in the Elite Eight. I think it was a 3 or 4 point game at halftime. Alabama was playing them tight, and then Purdue at halftime, like you said, like all three very good teams, and you know, hang around, and then UConn just once they hit, it's a boa constrictor. They hit the gas, and then it's like a slow death, and it's over. Like once they get that little bit of momentum, it was inevitable, and like it felt unstoppable. Like It felt like midway through the second half there, like there was a 0% chance Purdue was winning that game. Like UConn just had the juice, nothing they could do to combat it.
Dude, a 12-point lead felt like it was 30 with them.
Yeah, it really did. Their strategy, Hurley said after the game, limit the threes. I think Purdue made one. Braden Smith made the only one right before halftime. And if they made a second, it didn't matter. And then it was to limit Braden Smith, Mason Gillis, Fletcher Lawyer, and Lance Jones to under 20 points. And I mean, Dan Hurley succeeds on his game plan. They're like, Edie can do whatever he wants because Edie's not going to get you more than realistically 40. And if you keep the rest under 20, and the bench didn't do anything. I mean, Kylo Ren scored the first basket of the game. I remember that because I didn't bet on that prop. And I was really glad because he would have been the last choice. But yeah, I called him Kylo Ren intentionally. I don't know his actual name. I just think of the Star Wars guy.
I'm not going to say anything, but it's something dash Ren. Yeah.
No, I know. I always forget the first part of it. So I just say Kylo, man. But dude, Edie's not. That the game plan was beautiful. They executed it. Dude, Cam Spencer and Steph Castle are so good. I know Tristan Newton won most spectacular player and Donovan Klingling got all the attention because of the matchup with Edie, but Cam Spencer, probably the most active player in the country. Offense, defense, he's running around, he's tipping the ball, he's shoving Hurley after the game. I mean, that's, I've heard a lot of people say this, but Cam Spencer feels like Dan Hurley on the court. That dude's a baller, straight up baller. Dave, reminds me of your game a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you.
he was a really good lacrosse player, too. I was telling you, I didn't realize until that night that his brother was Pat Spencer.
That feels like your kind of guy right there, dude.
Yeah. But no, I agree with you, John. I thought, honestly, like Cam Spencer was, you know, their fourth leading scorer, only had 11 points, but he had as much of an impact on that game as anyone, like just all over the place, made all the right plays, all the right passes, like just really, really good player. I mean, he was awesome at Rutgers last year too. And yeah, I mean, going back to what you said about Purdue, man, they shot 7 threes. Like they had they were just force feeding Edie, which is obviously what got them there. But especially once it started to get out of hand in the second half, man, you weren't going to get back in that game by just force feeding Edie and him taking, you know, 6 foot post shots. Like, I don't know why. And I mean, credit to UConn for their defense, right? But I don't know how you only shoot 7 threes. I mean, Fletcher Lawyer, Mason Gillis, like Braden Smith, those guys all shot the 3-point ball pretty efficiently this year, especially Mason Gillis.
Dude, second in the nation in 3-point percentage. They were first much of the year. Kentucky took them over at the end, but like that is, we had touched on it. I mean, Purdue wasn't shooting. They weren't shooting percentage-wise well coming into that game. I think they were, what, 18%, 15% the two games before that, but they didn't need it. You know, Edie was dominant. The other teams they were playing couldn't score. Yeah, UConn wasn't that. And the shooting percentage and then the volume was like, I don't know what happened to Purdue in the postseason. They were getting it done. They were finding ways to get it done, but they really got exposed with what was killing them from what was good in the regular season. So.
You're on mute, Connor, but I was going to say too, like, I mean, Zach Edey was awesome. Like if Zach Edey got hurt before that game or like what, like Purdue would have lost by 50. Like Zach Edey was the only reason that thing was even like competitive into the second half, quite honestly. So, I mean, he played awesome and they needed more juice and they didn't have any more juice.
He had a look in his eye especially the first 10 minutes of the game where I was like, shit, Purdue might do this. They might get it done. They might pull the upset. And it just didn't happen. I was looking back at UConn's roster 2 years ago when they lost in the first round against New Mexico State as a 5 seed. New Mexico State was a 12 seed. Two guys from that team are still on the roster today. Dave, guess who those two players are? See if you get him. We'll see if you get him.
Adam Hurley.
You know what? There's three players still on the roster. Andrew Hurley is one of them. Andrew Hurley. You're right. You got me because he counts. He counts. We'll count him. He's one of three.
I think it's Hassan Diarra and Alex Carabin.
It is not Diarra. Who's the second one?
Carabin.
Carabin was a red shirt in 2021-22 season, so he was one of the other three. There's one more.
Is it that Samson Johnson guy?
Samson Johnson, dude. Samson
good,
Johnson.
Good backup big man. Pogo sticks, bro.
Pogo stick, man. And if he just didn't, he faded 4 fouls in maybe 8 minutes of gameplay. Like he didn't know how to control his ability to you know, jump and defend, but he was electric when he was in there, and when he wasn't fouling, he was really effective for him. Steph Castle, I mentioned him. I think he's probably going to be a pretty high draft pick. Not too plugged in. Any chance do we think Dan Hurley's able to convince this man to come back to UConn?
No.
Couple shakes, couple no shakes quickly there.
Listen, this is the worst NBA draft that we're going to have in, like, at least the next, I would guess, 5 years or so. Like, you're not doing, unless you're, like, truly going to develop into, like, a top pick, there's no reason you shouldn't go out now if you have, especially off of a national title. Like, what are the chances they actually repeat next year?
Yeah. I mean, to get Castle back, you got a better chance, that's for sure. I don't know, though. Do you think the NBA draft classes, though, are going to be weaker than what they used to be with NIL being what it is now?
No, because the NBA draft, that's not really the pool of players they're usually drawn. I mean, yes, there might be a couple more freshmen who normally would declare and then decide to go back. But, like, I feel like the NIL stuff mostly affects, like, you're going to see way more. Obviously, we're already seeing it. Mm-hmm. The fifth-year seniors, you know, just guys staying around longer. But, like, those guys are never really, like, great NBA prospects anyway. Like, if you're not a guy – like, the great NBA prospects are out of college after year one, year two latest, 95% of the time, or they're never in college to begin with.
It's also, like, NIL money for – does not sniff NBA money if you're, you know, a top 10 pick. So – yeah, I just think this year's draft is just terrible. Next year is supposed to be really stacked, so I would imagine he goes. Klingon definitely goes. Newton has to go. He graduates.
Yeah. Spencer's out of eligibility too, and he's gonna get.
I mean, his brother's on the Warriors, dude.
Yeah, like, bro. Cam Spencer is an NBA caliber player. I saw. Kevin O'Connor was giving him some love that he's gonna stick around the league.
He's very TJ McConnell-esque. Like, in that'd be his role on an NBA team.
Yeah, but he's also TJ's like not even 6 feet. Cam Spencer's 6'4", was a 41 or 42%. Yeah, he's 6'4", and he shoots the hell out of the ball. So, like, I think he's actually got a chance to be like a good role player in the NBA.
Grayson Allen type.
That's a good comp.
Yeah, I think Grayson's a little bit taller than him, but yeah.
Pat Connaughton, dude.
Connaughton.
Connaughton.
Connaughton's a little, well, he's actually not bigger, but he's like a freaky wingspan guy and also is a freak athlete. Yeah. But I think Ken Spencer's
trying to think of a white guy to compare him to be honest. First one that came to mind. Dude, no, nothing, but I found myself, I feel like, I don't know if people were hating, you know, the greatness that UConn has been over the last 2 years. I found myself rooting for them, partially because I really don't like Purdue. I don't like watching the brand of basketball that they play. But, yeah, I was rooting for UConn.
They said something funny on Part of My Take today. They were like, this title was great. If they win one more title, bad for basketball.
Yeah, no, we don't.
When you start hating them. I mean, like, it happens to every team. It happened with the Warriors, happened with the Patriots, I'm sure, when they first, came up.
Yeah.
I feel like people probably loved them when they won, like, their first couple.
Dude, the Patriots, like, for sure.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, how about – yeah, I agree. I kind of found myself rooting for them. And how about UConn on the men's side, 6-0 in national title games? That's nuts.
Crazy. All since
19, yeah, what, 90, right?
99.
It's that they have 99. They have seven Final Four trips and six national championships.
Crazy. Like, that's
absolutely insane.
And I was I was saying too, it's like they're like, I mean, obviously they
got more titles than Duke now.
Yeah, they're amongst the elite of the elite. Like, they are a legitimate, like, blue blood now, and it's crazy because that Jack Mack guy, I think he's another Barstool guy. He's like a big UConn fan. And like, I like saw one of his like tweets about how crazy it was. Cause like before, I think like Jim Calhoun showed up, like there was no basketball tradition at UConn. It's in fucking Stores, Connecticut, which I visited, by the way. I went with my older sister when she was like, looking at UConn.
It's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Cool campus, bro. But yeah, like Stores, Connecticut is like absolute bum shit, Connecticut. Like, nothing there. it's just crazy that trajectory as a program. And even like even after like they won in, what was that, 2014 with Shabazz Napier, and like they had a little bit of a downturn there, but it's like they've shown with this rebound, like
they Kevin Ollie wins a title and then gets canned for whatever recruiting violations, and they turned it around in like 3 years.
Yeah,
dude, I was just gonna say, I was just literally, if you saw me, I was looking at my phone. I was like, who was the coach in between Calhoun and Hurley? And Kevin Ollie was great, dude. He was great. I was like, I was shocked he got fired. I was like, damn, UConn is, that's it. Like they had, right. He had just won again. Like he kept it going. And they have had three amazing hires. Oh my God. Whoever's calling the shots there is I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing what they've
done. Jim Calhoun might have been there before the
I don't know, but.
But yeah, they got something working. It seems like Calhoun's still involved with the program. He was on the stage for the trophy ceremony.
What a wagon like they are, man.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves credit, man. He's like the Jim Boeheim of that pro. Like, Syracuse basketball isn't shit for Jim Boeheim either. Like, yeah, just honestly respect. And it's pretty remarkable what they've been able to accomplish. March pedigree as a program, man. Not just on the men's side, too. Obviously, Gino on the women's side has been even more dominant. So it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. I saw shout out the women's game had, I think, 18.9 million viewers, and the men's had 14.8 million. I mean, Sunday at 3 is a little bit better than Monday at 9:30. But the women's game, man, that is a hell of a run they had. It just grew every week.
The final four games and the national championship game for me were more enjoyable than the men's games.
I mean, they were. I agree with what you guys said the other day. I mean, it was, as a whole, there's been more exciting tournaments, no doubt about it. Definitely one of the chalkier tournaments where even the games that ended up being good matchups weren't always close. So what are you going to
do? I can't wait. I know I'm going to get screwed next year. I'm going to go into the tournament and be like, oh, last year we were all saying it wasn't going to be chalk, and it was chalk. Then I'm going to take chalk, and it's going to be just absolutely absurd with, like, 3 8 seeds getting to the Final Four. It happens every – I can't get it right.
I was going to say, dude, I picked, you know, UNC and Houston had going to the championship. Of course, picked the wrong one seeds. That's what I do every year. Every year, man. Finished, like, second to last in the seventh rounders pool. A Poolian, man, if you're out there listening to this, tweet at the seven. If you are listening to this, Poolian, you're going to tweet at our handle the word esophagus. Tweet esophagus at us.
The great bracket. What's the word I'm looking for? The bracket gate. We literally had bracket gate.
Bracket gate, dude.
Did he ever respond on Twitter, by the way?
Yeah. He said, so I don't win anything, with like a frowny face. I said, no. No, you don't. You can't just show up and claim your prize. It's not how it works. I didn't even know who you were before Monday morning.
You didn't even buy in.
And by the way, after the first weekend, we said on the pod, we're like, there's like two unpaid entries. If there's any, like we said, him and some other guy. It was both his.
Yeah, I'm Williams, right, dude. So he had two entries, and then there was a P. Williams. I'm convinced P. Williams is an acquaintance of Poolian, but I limited it to two.
But brackets. To be fair, if he was actually a listener, we probably would have let him pay a week later. Like, I don't think any of us would have.
Money before this weekend, because he was in like sixth place or seventh place before the weekend. Like, yeah, I would have gladly given it to him. It would have been awesome to give it to a random person.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
Instead, he was trying to scam, because I go through his replies. It's just all retweets of like giveaways. He won some other like $25 bracket. And, you know, on the usernames, you can, like, see the – it was, like, his 11th bracket. So I imagine he is just absolutely spamming brackets out there. And, hey, it's honestly, you know, if he would have paid, it would have worked out for him. But it didn't.
Automated some code to do that for him, dude. The bots entered the bracket group potentially out here.
Yeah, maybe you didn't realize we had an entry fee on ours. Like, yeah, I'll give him the benefit
of the doubt. It's in the description. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Didn't you tweet the entry fee?
It literally said $20 entry fee.
It's with your handle?
It's the first line. Yeah.
If you can go out of your way to Twitter search and find that, you can easily read the description.
That's true.
You know,
I will say, though, got to give a shout out. Not that he's probably not listening, but Shout out Jared Becker. He did win the seventh round for what, the third time in the last 4 years, I think.
I've paid him out at least twice. I know that for a fact.
And Jared was my old roommate in Boston. For those who don't know, I lived with Pat and Sam and I, and great guy. Does not care about college basketball. And guess what? I think he's better off for it because shows how little, I mean, none of us, I actually finished it right in the bracket, but I mean, every year, man, the more you know, probably the worse off you are in March. Cause, you know, this year we tried, I think we all had our upsets and whatnot. And guess what? It was chalky as shit this year. And Jared just knew it. So shout out Jared.
Connor, we're going to have to get the marketing team to get in contact with Tame Impala, dude. I had a shirt idea. The less I know, the better. Seventh Rounders logo, bracket on the back.
Send it to me, brother.
That's an idea right there. If we can help maybe get a little trademark copyright type of thing.
We're into baseball season now. We'll probably touch on that a lot more in the coming weeks.
I was going to say, I know you got to run soon, but I mean, early title pick for next year, like, is it Arkansas's to lose?
Duke. It's Duke.
It's not Arkansas's to lose. I'm riding Coach Cal.
Flag, baby.
Coach Cal.
Arkansas? Was that a joke?
Coach Cal's there now, man. Coach Cal's leading the Razorbacks, dude. Announced officially today. I mean, that's crazy. It's gonna be really weird seeing him in red. On the Kentucky front, is Rick Pitino a legitimate option? Would you guys think to go to Kentucky? Go back.
No shot.
Go back there. They should go for Luke Murray. I think they should go for Bill Murray's son. I mean, take the blueprint of UConn over there if you can't get Dan. I know they want Dan. Of course they do. He's not going anywhere, though.
He's not going anywhere.
Scott Drew tweeted in Baylor today, obviously, to address the rumors in a subtle way. I would go after Luke Murray. But that's not the splash hire that BBN wants, so that probably won't happen.
The coaching candidates in that search, but
no, we'll get back to that. They'll announce it soon enough. I mean, dude, you have to act. I thought Cal fucked him because of this NIL era. Like, dude, they just lost like 3 weeks of action right there. And they need to act really quickly. They're going to hire someone in the next 24 hours. They have to. It's going to be just like Alabama was quick with after Saban retired. Yeah. Kentucky's going to fill that soon. They
Scott
have to.
Drew or Rick Pitino are my guesses.
Who was the first guy said?
So you think it's possible? Scott Drew.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted in Baylor today. We'll see. That's crazy. That'll shake up the SEC next year. Texas and Oklahoma next year in the SEC. Things will be different. Things will be different in the 2024-25 college basketball season. We'll revisit that. It'll be Feast Week in about 6 months, folks. 6 months till Feast Week. Thank God Shad's not with us tonight or he'd spend the next 10 minutes talking about that. And it'd be tough to shut him up. We can move to last calls. You guys covered the Masters the other day. I didn't get to chime in. I think it's Scotty's to lose. That's a very sad, chalky pick, so I'm not going to use that as my official one, even though I have a future on him. I like Shane Lowry this week. You know, me, Matt Marzulla, Danny McLaren, we're getting fired up for the big Irishman. Think his game could suit it well. We're expecting to see some bad weather in the forecast, really bad weather now on Thursday. And Shane has played in events well through some poor weather. I think he's going to give it a run this week. He's like plus 6,000 worth a $5 sprinkle. Why not? Give him hell, Shane, for Ireland. And shout out to the Pittsburgh Pirates real quick. They've been just exceptional this year. I don't know if they're still the best record in baseball. They did not play today, and they lost yesterday. So the Yankees are 10-2, best in baseball. Pirates are 9-3. Fucking love it. Keep it rolling, boys.
I'll go last call quick. My official pick is going to be Xander Schauffele. Connor, you and Chad touched on it, how it seems like you get a lot of first-time major winners at the Masters. Xander's so overdue. I mean, the guy's always in contention. He finished second at Augusta in 2019. Like, I'm fairly confident he's going to be firmly in the mix come Sunday. Like, he's going to get it done at some point. So I also saw some statistic that one of those random Twitter things you come by where it's like, John, I think it was something about the driving efficiency, like whatever. and how only five every guy who's won at the Masters in the last like 10 years fit a certain criteria off the tee.
Strokes gained off the tee.
Yeah, strokes gained off the tee. Okay, that was it. And Xander was one of like five guys who qualified this year. So I saw that and I he's got like the fourth best odds. So it's not like a long shot here, but I think he's gonna get it done.
You don't need a long shot. I mean, I took advantage of some bonus bets we have here that I've just been picking on in the Carolinas, and then just a couple $5 bets on long shots. We're just having fun with it. I've sprayed Dave just for you for here. Connor left, so I'm going to take a second last call and just these are my outrights. Bonus bets, $5 bets, nothing crazy. Scotty's a little bit more because, dude, plus 400, plus 500 is where he's around. That is ridiculous for Mass. That's Tiger. That's Tiger-esque, as Chad would say.
That is crazy.
Scotty, I got Brooks, dude. I think Brooks is going to be up there. I really do. If a live player is going to do it, I think Brooks does it after the pain of not doing it last year. He wants that green jacket.
He's the major hunter, man. Yeah. That guy just shows up for majors.
Yeah. I like Rory this week. I put a little on him with a bonus. Feels like the first year he's come in and there's not much hype around him. You know, I think the lack of pressure. His first round scores on average are like 73, 70. Like he's bad in the first round. I think it's because of the pressure and he's always better through the week. He's always sneaking up. It's like every year. It's like, it's a shame they don't play one more day. Like there's a fifth day, Rory would probably be in contention for the win. I think he'll do well. Jordan Spieth, Max Homa, Sung J.M. I already mentioned Lowry and then Sahith Tagala. Just some flyers, dude. Just some flyers.
Sahith's been playing good golf too.
Yeah.
I like that pick.
There's some flyers. The one I haven't taken yet, and I think I might use my last bonus. Hideki. I like the past champions, man. I like the past champions. Hideki's in good form. It'd be a beautiful event. Down here, Friday to Sunday's good. Thursday's gonna be a slugfest, dude.
Okay. I was just gonna say too, I mean, Chad already touched on it, but you're just gonna kick yourself if you don't put at least like $3 on Tiger. Just do it.
Oh yeah. $1.50. 69
cents. Yeah, why not? Like, come on, everyone's gonna be rooting for him anyways. I mean, you just gotta do it. Yeah. Maybe we get some of that. What was it, 2018 magic? Or was that 19?
19.
Yeah. We'd love to see. It's gonna be great to see him back out on the course this week, regardless. Hope he makes the cut. It would just be fun, even just to get him to Sunday, man. Like I hope his health holds up. So
yeah. If he can get through the rain round, I think he'll be fine. Like if he can get through the rain round in decent enough shape tomorrow, it shouldn't be too cold. I was looking at it. It should be warm enough where he's not like shivering like you've seen in some of these past tournaments. But yeah, enjoy it, folks. Enjoy it responsibly.
Yeah.
Catch some baseball while you're at it. It's good.
Yeah,
good time
it was
of year.
A great call. It was a great call in the NFL draft in like fucking 2-3 weeks. Up. So that's fun too. Great time of the year for sports, even though one chapter closed with college basketball. A lot to come, guys.
Everything's good in rations anyway. You can't have it year round. You know, you got to get a break to make it feel a little bit better, but we'll get back to it. Have a good weekend. Good luck with your outrights out there, everybody. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening. Production by AJ Bradbury.